Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections from the Catholic community at Stanford University. These are a series of podcasts on the homilies, reflections, and occasional talks given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Nancy Greenfield, chaplain of the Catholic community. It is the third Sunday of Ordinary Time. The readings are from Cycle B.
Let's talk about Jonah today. It's a lot of fun, this story. Now, Catholic scholars agree that Jonah is an imaginative, satirical work of fiction intended to teach a point. It's sort of what we in our American heritage might call a tall tale, such as the story of Paul Bunyan or Johnny Appleseed. How do the scholars know it's fiction? For one thing, several humorous elements suggest that what we're reading about is not an actual historical situation, but rather a parody of one. In fact, Jonah is not exactly a prophet. He's almost an anti-prophet. The prophet Jonah is told by God to go and preach repentance to the city-state of Nineveh, which is the modern-day Mosul in Iraq. Nineveh is a wicked, ungodly city, and by no coincidence, a deep and abiding enemy of Israel. Now, Jonah has no desire to go at all, and so his immediate response is to run away on a freighter bound for southern Spain. Calamity happens, and he's tossed overboard, where he's immediately swallowed whole by a whale. Here is where the sly humor comes in, one of the places anyway. Imagine Jonah in his little underwater condo. No view, a pervasive fishy smell, a certain lack of fresh vegetables. And by the way, where does he do the dishes? However, he does remember his prayers and utters a long psalm that is a pastiche of all the psalms of deliverance, which would have been very familiar to the Jewish audience of this tale. After 3 days, the fish spits him out, hale and hearty. And once again, God approaches Jonah. And this is where we come in today's reading. This time, he agrees to go to Nineveh. And guess what? The king listens to Jonah, and rising from his throne, casts off his royal robes, and as a sign of repentance, clothes himself in sackcloth and sits in ashes. Another opportunity for comic relief is the scene where the king orders that not only all the people, but all the animals will wear sackcloth. Now, can you imagine trying to put sheep in sackcloth, getting all them little hooves and arms in the right holes? And how do cows call loudly to God? I'm just asking here. Lo and behold, Jonah has accomplished his mission. He is a success. And is he happy? Oh, no. Jonah is very angry that Nineveh is not immediately punished. In fact, we begin to suspect that he didn't want to go to Nineveh the first time because he was not interested in saving Nineveh from itself. It deserved to be destroyed. So he exits the city in a snit and goes off to build himself a hut where he can watch from afar to see what happens to the city. He sits under a plant that has grown up, affording him lovely shade, and pouts. When God causes the shade plant to wither, Jonah is beside himself with despair and anger. At this point, God comes to him and points out that Jonah's falling a bit short in the compassion department. And should I not be concerned over Nineveh, says God, this great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, not to mention the cattle? And with that, the story ends. We have no idea whether Jonah got the message or not. But for sure, early listeners got the point. To understand this story fully, we must keep in mind one piece of cultural background. At the time that this was written, right after the return of the Israelites from their exile in Babylon, Israel was experiencing a nationalistic fury. They were critical and hateful to anyone who was not a pure Israelite. It got so bad that men who were married to a foreign woman were told to abandon their wives and children. Unfortunately, this is an ongoing failing through much of the history of religious people, a spiritual arrogance that tells us we alone have the right answers and God loves us, and everyone who's not like us is an enemy of God. Whoever wrote this story, this satire, was using Jonah as an example to send a message to all the narrow-minded Israelites, and by extension to us, reminding us that only God can judge others. And that is the message for you and me. We need to think big about God. Sometimes we've domesticated God, shaping God in our own image, to our own dreadfully small specifications. We sometimes presume to know whom God loves and whom God doesn't love. There are those who believe that only Roman Catholics will be strumming harps in heaven. Some will let outsiders in, but only on a selective basis. People that look like us, act like us, people of our own political persuasion. There are those who believe that God's love does not extend to gays or to those divorced and remarried or to those that just live together and don't get married. Others insist that God despises those who are rich. Still again, others say that God despises those who are too lazy to work for a living. Often, we tend to assume that those we criticize for their approach to prayer or liturgy are not worthy of God's love or even of our courtesy. It's so easy to forget that those people, whoever they are, laugh and cry, get angry and rejoice, just as we do. They love their children and worry about them, just as we do. They make mistakes and act like heroes, just as we do. It's so easy to judge and dismiss those people, whoever they are, whose opinions or lifestyles we don't share, forgetting that God is big enough to manage humanity and its foibles without our advice. Thank you very much. But if we take the teachings of the New Testament seriously, we understand that the Christ who clothed himself in our flesh and carried it to a bloody cross did so not just for the nice guys, Teresa of Avila and Teresa of Calcutta, not just for faithful Catholics and the original apostles. God's compassion reaches out to sinners. And frankly, that's where we all are. So God's compassion reaches out to everybody, even those who stretch God's compassion to the breaking point, the proud, the self-satisfied, those who have it made, those who lack compassion for others themselves. God loves them as well. It's important to remember that God has no limits, even if we do. And the other message from this story is that, like Jonah, we all flee God some way or another. Some people think science has replaced God. Still others find themselves stumbling over the tragedies that haunt human existence and give up on God. Or we simply don't have time for God right now. Too many classes, the struggle to make a decent living. The demands of research or children find us relegating God to the back shelf of our consciousness, vowing to renew our relationship with God when we have the time. There are many times when God just simply isn't on our radar screen. But the good news is, like God with Jonah, God doesn't give up on us. We may ignore God. We may challenge God. We may dump our anger and resentment on God. And God will be waiting there for us to turn around, to stop running, to take a breath, and to say, yes. And if we stop running, we just might hear the still, small voice calling us to believe in God's love and calling us to bring that love to a dangerous and broken world. Like Jonah, we are called, each one of us. This afternoon, we just witnessed an example of how some are answering that call. They are responding the call to live out their lives as members of a Catholic community, to bring a message of God's love and hope and compassion to those they meet along the way, as you and I are called. Like Jonah, like Andrew, Peter, James, and John, the call is never a command, but an invitation. As it was up to them, it is up to us to accept it.
This edition of Catholic Cardinal Reflections has been sponsored by TNT Tuesday Night Topics, where faith intersects with contemporary issues. This quarter, we will be discussing How Do You Make a Moral Decision in a 4-part series, taking place on Tuesday nights, beginning on Tuesday, January 17th at 7:30 in the Common Room of Old Union. Thank you for listening to Catholic Cardinal Reflections from the Catholic community at Stanford University. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu. This is Father Isaiah Mary Milano, OP, Associate Director, Parochial Vicar for the Catholic community at Stanford, and the voice of Catholic Cardinal Reflections. Till next time, God bless you.